Christianity is not a life of struggle. That's why God has given us his grace, so that we enjoy a free flow of his kingdom.
Join Prophet Simon Thomas of Glory Carriers Ministry International as he brings you the divine word of God in its simplicity.
It says that if you confess with your mouth that the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, he said you will be saved. So without the resurrection, our faith is not affirmed. It's useless. 1 Peter 1:3-4. 1 Peter 1:3-4. It says, blessed be God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again to a living hope through what? The resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Did you see that? How were we begotten to a living hope? Through what? The resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Let's see verse 4. He then says, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. Now, if you see reserved in heaven for you, you'll be wondering, is it when we get to heaven that we'll touch that? No, that's not what the scripture means by that. It had been always reserved there. But right now, at the believing of Jesus, you partake of it on earth as it is in heaven. And that's why Jesus taught us to pray. He said, pray that my will be what? My will be done. My kingdom come, my will be done on earth as it is done where? In heaven. It was reserved there, but we're experiencing it now on earth as it is in heaven. Talking about Easter is talking about the finished work of Jesus. All that he attained for us on Calvary. In his death, his burial, and resurrection. And when we say death, burial, and resurrection, we are not excluding the details. The details while he was being flogged. Are we together? While he was being crowned with thorns. All of them significant meaning. Are we together? He was crowned with thorns prophetically for something. You know, I've done that teaching here before, and I think there's a beautiful song the choir began to sing that time. I don't know if I can remember it. Hallelujah to Jesus. That simply means that all of our troubles in the flesh, Jesus wore it as a crown. It simply means we should see God crowned in every situation in our life. We should see victory in it. And that's why Jesus said in the Old Testament, it's as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so will the Son of Man be lifted up. You may be in the infirmity, you may be in the pain, but if you look at the cross, that pain will be worn on your head as a crown of victory. Are you listening to me tonight? So refuse to settle down for your pain or infirmity or addiction or sin. Don't settle down for it. You are a champion. You are God's image and likeness. Are you all listening to me tonight? Imagine somebody sleeping on Easter Sunday. Wow. Where will we start from? I don't even know where to start from. The day Jesus resurrected, you want to sleep on. That problem is a strong one. Even if Satan comes on your head and puts spirit to sleep, refuse it. It's Easter. You know, I wonder why somebody would take his bath, dress so nice and wonderful, come to church, sit down, and start sleeping. Explain to me how this thing is not an attack. Who can explain? Explain how this thing is not an attack from Satan. It's the spirit of sleep. Satan will just come and just sit on you. You know, I saw one joke on Facebook recently. I don't know if some of you saw it. The guy was in church. During the praise, he danced. That's how some people are. During praise, they'll carry chair on their head and be dancing. After all the dance and everything, it was time for the word of God. He started closing it. As he closed his eyes, he saw himself in a plane. But before he started flying in the plane, in the imagination, who sat on his leg? Satan. Satan. Manifesting as a spirit of sleep. He just blew him something. You know, in heat, some people will feel what kind of chill breeze in church. It's not God Almighty. While I was teaching, I saw some people, one person's eye to be doing W. I was struck. Ha. Amen. We are not supposed to disgrace you on Easter Sunday. Imagine I call your name now. Everybody will know you are the one sleeping. Your Easter will be bad. So let's respect ourselves, okay? You know, when Jesus was going to another city to meet somebody else's need, someone touched the hem of his garment and missed a crowd. And Jesus said, "Who touched me?" The disciples now say, "How can you ask that kind of question? Everybody is touching you." He says, "Somebody touched me." So only Jesus and that woman knows what is happening. She now says, "I'm the one." Now as I'm talking, only me and the person that slept know what is happening. The person know he or she is the one. The rest of you, let's continue. You know me, I know you. We know ourselves. But I will not talk until you did the second time. Hallelujah to Jesus. So you see, you are a champion. You're a champion. You see, I've come this morning to awaken this revelation on your inside. Because there are even some of you here who are in Paul. You are in Paul's experience. The experience of Paul in 2 Corinthians 12. You have this knowledge. Paul had this knowledge. You can imagine 2 Corinthians 12. Paul writing this. Paul, full of knowledge, wrote to the Romans, wrote to the Philippian church, wrote to the church in Ephesus, and etc. And here is Paul saying that, "Lord, remove this infirmity from me." Who would have believed that? Are you guys here this morning? Remove this infirmity from me. And that's how I teach sometimes in our Christian walk with God. That you are full of knowledge, and if you are not careful, it only ends in your head. Except you might meditate or imagine. Remember I said another word for meditation is imagination. Enough. What is head knowledge will never become a reality. In fact, revelation is not complete until it goes beyond head knowledge to manifestation. That's why we call it revelation. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to explain to you? Hallelujah to Jesus. Very important. And if you are in that kind of situation now, even as I'm teaching this very morning, you may not really be wired up. You may be feeling like, "Oh, these things, I've known it already, but I'm still insane. I've known this thing, yet I'm still suffering from one form of sin or another. I beg, let them say it again. Let me go back." It doesn't really work the way they say it. And so you settle down for less, because as we're finishing, Satan will he will create a circumstance, find a way to just push wrong messages to you. You just get to your Facebook and you are interfaced with a belief system that just consoles your school of thought. It just consoles you. And they tell you, "Nobody can live above sin except by the grace of God." It's not like they did not call the grace of God there, but the message is still wrong. And every human being would rather want to settle or relate more with this message than the first message that says you can live above sin. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? Because this one sounds more relatable. And a human being will say, "Being real, I should just be sincere with myself." You know, have you heard people talk like that? "I want to be sincere with myself." It's not possible to live above sin. Let's be sincere. Who can live above sin? Your sincerity does not matter. Being sincere does not matter here. What did God say about sin? That's all that matters about sin. If God says you can live above sin, it doesn't matter what you had known about sin and how sincere you are about sin. Doesn't really matter. It doesn't matter at all. God has said you can live above sin. Are you listening to me? And nobody knows the creation like the Creator. If a preacher, some preacher says you can live above sin, and God says you can live above sin, the preacher is wrong, but God is right. If the world says you cannot live above sin because you are a mere human being, then they misunderstood what a human being should be. Because God is saying that you can be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. So we don't care what the world is saying. We are perfect. Say, I'm perfect.
I'm perfect.
You see, some of you cannot say it because you don't believe it. You believe your experience more. Now shout it beyond your experience. Say, I am perfect.
I am perfect.
If God says you are perfect, you are perfect. Forget about yesterday's sin. That's not the best of you. He said you can be perfect. In fact, you are perfect. If, for instance, you were created to be a 50 kVA generator, you were created with the capacity of a 50 kVA. Now, let me not just say you were created. Let me just say it literally. Imagine you have a 50 kVA capacity generator, but you were scared of owning your fridge in the house because you felt like generator cannot carry your fridge and your AC. Now, naturally, can a 50 kVA generator allow you to own your fridge? Of course. Can it allow you to own your AC? Of course, more than one AC. But imagine you were not aware and you own the gen, and for several years you are only owning your TV. Then one day somebody comes to your house, look at the person knows about generator, and you just go and on your fridge, on the two AC, and you're like, NEPA don't bring light. Not realizing that it's the same thing you have been using for years that somebody has come to bring the best of it. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to explain to you? So it is with human beings. If you don't know who you are, you cannot really be the best of you. You cannot really act your best. You cannot really live your best. And because many of us are not aware of who we are, we were settling down for sin. Sin is not supposed to be our supposed way of life. Are you all listening to me? Very important. Our supposed way of life is holiness. And you see, God didn't call into a holy life with human effort, human way, human strength. Because he said, of your own you can do nothing. Not by power, he said, not by might, but by the Spirit. You already have that 50 kVA capacity in your spirit. Are you listening to me tonight? All you need to do is to tonight understand that, you know, like physics would say, potential difference. See a new potential difference on your inside. If you couldn't do it before, like Paul, now you can say, I can do all things. And for us, it's not 50 kVA. If we were a generator, there is no end to our kVA. We can do all things. We can carry everything in the house. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? Because he said, unto him who is able to do what? 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 All. Did he say some? All you have and can ever think or imagine. How? According to his power. Where? In me. Wow. I can't fail. It's not just possible. Oh my God. The roof over my head wants to scatter. I can't fail. It's not pride. I'm speaking from a revelation. He has said so that we may boldly say. So I read the scripture and I'm boldly declaring from the revelation I caught from the scripture that I cannot fail. This is where Paul stood from in knowledge and said, I can now do all things. I'm sure Paul sounded proud of the Pharisees, his fellow Pharisees. Paul was in a church, in a temple, and when the Holy Ghost got in him, everything in his life changed. He looked at all of them and started saying things that even made the way they stoned the disciples and the way they tried to stone Jesus, they started stoning Paul. Because now Paul is thinking like the 12, Paul is thinking like the Lord. Why? He's filled with the Holy Spirit. That was the difference. He's now filled with the Holy Ghost. You see that? In Galatians 4:6, see what the Bible says. Oh, there, Jesus. The Bible says in Galatians 4:6, and because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying out, because you are sons. So that is why He sent His Spirit. He made a way for us to be called sons. So He sent His Spirit. How many of you believe you are sons of the living God? If you don't have the Holy Ghost, you don't know who you are. You see, I got you. If you are a son, you should be filled with the Holy Spirit. He said, because sons, God has sent forth. So it's why God sent His Spirit. It's because He has called now many sons to glory. He had made it possible for many to be called sons of the living God. So He sent His Spirit upon all flesh. Because now all flesh have the potency, possibility to be called. You see that? So He sent His Spirit so that you can cry, Abba Father. You can come to that point. You can call Him Daddy. Are you listening to me? Abba Father is a very intimate way of calling your father, Abba. My dear father, my dearest daddy. Not that you see him as a god, not just a god and just plain religion. He's beyond a god to you. He's your father. Say, God is my father. He is our father. And that's what the Bible says, be perfect as your father in heaven is. You see that? Next part of scripture. It says, therefore you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then a heir of God through Christ. Let's see in the TBT rendition. Now we are no longer living like slaves under the law, but we enjoy being God's. Let's start from verse 6. And so that we will know for sure that we are His true children, God released His Spirit of sonship in our heart, moving us to cry out intimately, my Father, you are our true Father. You see that? Who is your true Father? Listen, without apology, your physical father that gave birth to you is not your true father. He's just your father. Your real father that put you in your earthly father's system, that put you in your mother's belly, 9 months, says you are perfect. The intermediate that brought you into this world don't know you like the true father that put you in them. Now, I'm not saying this so that you go back home and tell them that that's what I said. God is your true father. Are you listening to me? Moving on to cry out intimately, my Father, you are a true father. Next part of scripture. It then says, now we are no longer living like slaves under the law, but we enjoy being God's very own sons and daughters. You see that? And because we are His, we can access everything our Father asks for our Father has. For we are his heirs. Or for we are heirs of God through Jesus, the Messiah. We can access everything our Father has. Not some things. Think about it. You can access anything God has. That was a mistake the prodigal son had. He wanted to collect. He didn't want access. He wanted to collect it. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? He said, give me my share. No. If you want a share, then you don't understand sonship. We have access, not a share. Everything that belongs to God belongs to me. This is so powerful. You see that? How many of you feel the anointing? You feel the presence of God as you are listening. So I can't sin. Because God is my Father. I live above fear. Because God is my Father. Fear is a snare. Job 33, 5, thereabout. He said, what I feared has come upon me. I refuse to fear. I do not fear falling to sin. I can't sin. If I'm scared of sinning, I will sin. What has kept anybody here in sin or an addiction? Fear of failure. Fear of failure. Some people translate it as carefulness. Be careful not to sin. You will sin. Because most of the times what you mean by careful is fear. I refuse to be scared. How do I prove my confidence in God? Speaking his word. I'm not pessimistic or optimistic with no base of understanding. Or my base of understanding is worldly understanding, the civilization of this world. No. The reason why I say I cannot sin is because of God's word. Are you listening to me? Let's see, for instance, let's show you why we boldly declare we can sin. Romans 6 and 4. Same rendition. See what the Bible says. Are you here? It says, sharing in his death by our baptism means that we are co-buried. You see that? Co-buried and entombed with him. We are co-buried with Christ. You see where we are standing from? Co-entombed. We were in that tomb, on the tomb. My God. We have died. We died many years ago. And some of you just are just realizing, hey, we are the ones that have died. And we are back to life. Say amen. Some people are looking at me strangely. You wherever you were coming from, some of you have this creed. You always used to say, I believe in one God. I will die with him. Blah, blah. You were saying it all this while. I'm just trying to emphasize it to you. That you have been saying you died. And actually you died. Tell somebody we died years ago. Before I continue where I am, run to verse 8. Let me show you something. You come back to verse 4. See what it means for you to say you have died. And if we were co-crucified with the anointed one, we know. No, verse 7, sorry, not this. I want you to see what it means for you to say I've died. Obviously, a dead person is incapable of sinning. So you see where we're standing from? A dead person is incapable of sinning. So when we say we are dead, I died with Christ. Know that you're saying I can't sin. I can't sin. Let's see the NKJV rendition. The NKJV. So direct. It says, for he who has died, pastors, he who has died has been freed from sin. How many of you have died in Christ? Look at that. You're looking at me. You don't believe you died in Christ? I rebuke it. I did not die in Jesus' name. That's not what I'm trying to say. I'm not saying you're going to get 6 feet under the ground. You died by faith. What he did was not for himself. Do you think Jesus needed to die for who? We won't break. You can just. And Satan will just be nowhere. But because, listen to why he died. Because he put you on the earth to be in charge. See what he said in Genesis 1:26. Let's read it, everyone. Genesis 1:26. I've never seen this in the TPT. Let's see it in the TPT. Genesis 1:26. We're going to come back to Romans 6:4. We've not forgotten. It says, then God said, let us make man and a woman in our image to be like us. Let them have reign over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, the livestock, over the creatures that creep along the ground, and over wild animals. Somebody said, God never said we should eat meat. He said, let them have reign. Meaning, do with the meat what you will. You are thinking too much. God said, do with anything what you will, and I will to eat. So no problem. You know, some people say, I have never seen in the scriptures where God said we should eat meat. Everybody's supposed to be a vegetarian. You really think you can survive without meat? How many of you think you can survive without meat here? Not in this state. This state is the managing director of meat eating. We eat everything meatable. I mean, we eat frog in this state. Isn't that interesting? They call it ifyam. I know some of you are like, oh gosh. You see some of these fine girls sitting here? They are masters of frog eating. And they are glad. We eat rats. You are pursuing it. We are eating it. We go into the bush and set them traps. They enter and we celebrate Jesus. And eat it. So you think we can live above eating meat in this state? Not possible. In fact, a thief man is how God shows creation how much valuable meat is to our lives. It is through thief men that God showed creation. Are you listening? In fact, the scripture, thank God for the Holy Spirit. The meat the Pharisees hated, thank God Jesus came and revived them. If Jesus did not bring pig, you know, there was a case in heaven, God had to speak for pig and say pig is righteous. If God never said that, all thief people would have been sinners, because we are masters of pig eating. How many of you here like pig? If you come to this state, you will start eating pig. You may swear, say, I'll never eat pig. Richard, do you eat pig now? That's an Igbo boy. He's a master of pig eating now. There are some Idoma people here that are legends of pig eating. Legends. It's so funny that even rats, some people come here and they start eating it. The spirit of rat just gets inside it. Am I lying? Richard, do you eat rats? Jesus Christ. I didn't see that coming. Richard eats rat. Evil boy. He came here and said he wanted to do ministry. That's what brought him to Benue. How many years ago now? 3 years. In 3 years, he's eating pig. In 3 years, he's eating rat. I'm very sure you must marry a Benue person for this kind of thing you are doing. You can. I'm sure he's only Benue person God will be showing him. Don't eat frog. You are doing too much. Hallelujah to Jesus. You know, that's the one that scares me. That frog. I remember when I came for Remedias, I entered Woroku Market. I saw it on a tree. Peppery. Then one man came there. He was surprising. He pulled the leg of one that he was about to buy. He pulled the leg. Whoop. This is how I was looking at him, man. He was so happy. And some people eat snake. That's the height of it. Is snake sweet? You hear them? So it's not your business what anybody eats. Are you listening to me? Say, if a pregnant woman eats dogs, you know, but who told you that? If people intend, I know some people are angry with me for saying, you know, in America now, they may arrest me for saying people should eat dog. But God said, reign over it. It's unfair to not eat dog and eat fish. Why are you being wicked to fish? Is fish not a being, a living thing? So don't make some animals feel better than some animals. Why will we eat rats and neglect eating cats? Are they not friends? Now, we're trying to show you how that God gave man authority and why he's supposed to die. Now, follow me. It said, reign over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, the livestock, over the creatures that creep along the ground. Meaning, over every creeping thing. And I always joke and tell you, God gave you authority over creeps. Say, you'll get that house in the name of Jesus. You'll be able to pay that rent in the name of Jesus. And over every wild animal. Many, if you choose to eat lion, no problem. Next part of scripture. It then says, God speaking, it says, so God created man and woman and shaped them with his image inside of them. And in his own beautiful image, he created his masterpiece. Yes, male and female. He created them. Next part of scripture. Then he said, and God blessed them in his love, saying, reproduce, be fruitful, populate the earth, subdue it, reign over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, over every creature that lives on the earth. You see that? God gave man total, somebody say total, authority on the earth. Meaning God is saying, I created you man, but your assignment is that you have total mastery over the earth. So man was in charge of the earth. But this was the mistake that happened. Adam now ate from the wrong tree. And Satan now subjected Adam that has authority over the earth. He subjected the one that has what? Authority over the earth. So everything on the earth started moving and behaving wrongly. Because the one that has authority is not in charge. It's not displaying his authority. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? Somehow Jesus gave us a miniature microcosm of what authority for man should be. When Jesus was in a raging sea and it was moving about to swallow them up, Jesus stood up as a man. And he said, peace, be still. That's a taste of your authority. That's a taste of the kind of authority that man has. You can even speak to water to listen to you. He came as a man. Now that's why Jesus, God has to come as Jesus, a man Jesus. Because he created us in his image and likeness. We couldn't actualize that reality. So he now came as his image. Colossians 1:13 calls Jesus the image of the invisible God. He came as Jesus so that you who were created in his image and likeness but never realized will now understand from him as a person that you are supposed to be God's image and what? Likeness. So when we see Jesus, we realize ourselves. Because that was God's idea for us, to be made in his image and likeness. But we lost that authority to the devil because of ignorance. And so God had to come as the man, as a man. And listen, he didn't just come from the supposed man yet. He came as the man that was subjected by Satan. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? He died like man. He took upon himself a nature of sin. Are you listening to me? Died with that nature of sin. Was buried with that nature. Suffered all consequences because of that nature of sin. Because that's how you were supposed to suffer. That was what was supposed to happen to you. Satan is in charge. He can mess you up. He can do anything. Jesus came and took all the mess. He took all the mess that was supposed to happen to us. There was nothing the devil did not do to Jesus. I don't have time to read the book of Isaiah. You would have seen all of the things Satan did to Jesus. The Bible says his face had no beauty. Meat was falling off. They beat him, blew all of his face. You know, some of you think Jesus looked so cool while he died on the cross. Especially because of what they did on Friday. The Jesuses didn't have any wound on their face. There was one time in Kaduna, we were watching the drama, and they flogged this guy. He turned and said, "Stop that. It's too much." He didn't mind, though. Just like, what's wrong with you? And the church laughed and pretended like we didn't see what happened. And we continued the drama. That was just like minus 28 of what Jesus experienced. Just belt, bah, he won the person physically. And now you have watched this funny skit that they flogged Jesus. Bah, kill him. Ekba, ekba. And when they flogged him, he turned and sounded the guy back. No man would have been able to stand those pain. That's to show you that nobody can stand what Jesus stood. He didn't complain. He didn't say, "Stop that. Stop that." No. He took all the pain. He kept on moving. The cane they used to flog Jesus. I wish I did those videos. I was planning to say, I forgot. I wanted to play some of the things for you because some people acted it rightly. That the cane they flogged Jesus with had thorns. When they flog him, it's not koboko. If you went to a military school, especially, some of you know that you can miss a whole semester because of one man that will flog you koboko. Now, this is even worse than koboko. It had thorns. When they flog him and pull it out, it pulls out with meat. You can't imagine it, isn't it? Ah, all of these things just for me, just for me, just for me. I'm so glad he did it just for me, just for me, just for me, all just for me. Imagine they flog you like that, you die and not come back to life. So Jesus had to take your place. There is no way you come back. Even in the realm of spirit, you may not even rise up in the spirit realm. Because the pain. Yet the master never did. Oh, no, the Bible never said, and he cried and said, "Oh, Judah, God, Judah." No. He held the pain. Let me give you a clue. Imagine you were married and your wife is about to deliver. Some men, I'm feeling judged. I pray this example sits well with you. Some men will stand not minding for 10 hours, 24 hours. They won't sit down. Especially when the wife is saying, "Ah, ah, ah." It will be as if the war is happening in their heart. "Ah, ah." They'll be at the door. "Holy Ghost, please." If all the kind of prayer they'll pray. "Please, Lord, Lord, please, Lord, please." They wouldn't sit down. Are you listening to me? They don't mind. The pain that used to happen when people stand for 24 hours, the pain will flee. They will stand. The Bible says, seeing the glory that was set before him, he endured the cross. You will think the glory is, what do you think is the glory that was set before him? And Jesus, who now, when he died, he was given a name. That's what the Bible said, a name above all names. So you think before he died, he was not in the name above all names? He was still in the name above all names before he died. The reason why that scripture had to be written was because he came to the earth as a mere man in our sinful nature. And when he won the victory, he now received a name above all names that he had before he even died in the realm of the spirit. Are you people getting what I'm trying to explain? Because he came as a mere man and became obedient to death, then he now, it was as if it was a new thing. He received the name. And that part of scripture is referring more to you. You were the one that received your supposed level, your supposed position. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to explain to you? Everything he achieved was yours. or is yours. He didn't do it for himself. He did it just for you. And so the Bible says, seeing the glory that was set before him, seeing you in victory, seeing you above sickness, seeing you above sin, seeing you above failure, he said, let's keep on going. No problem. They flogged him, he kept on moving. They blow him, they pour spit on his face. Do you know they pour saliva on his face? Pwah! He kept on moving. All the heartbreak, he kept on moving. The people he even prayed for, fed 5,000. You think 5,000 people were not for Pilate? I mean, some of the people he fed were still shouting, crucify him, after eating his bread and his fish. Crucify him with his bread in your stomach and his fish. You know, some folks are like, when a pastor does a lot of miracles, people will believe him so much. We have done miracles even for some people by God's power. There are the people now saying, crucify him with a miracle working on their body. I was dazed and God touched me through Prophet Simon. Now I'm healed. 5 years down the line, crucify him. That's how Jesus had heartbreak. And he said no word. Like a sheep to the slaughter. Have you ever seen that? A sheep is going to the slaughter. With no word. The Bible said, no beauty to behold. That's what Isaiah said. He said, no, meaning if Jesus looked at you like this, he said, wow, no beauty to behold. Took all the mess. What was his consolation when he raises his head and looked in the realm of the spirit? He sees you above. And he says, if I don't reach to the end, man will not be great. Man will not live above sin, so I will do it. He kept on moving. Till he got to the place of the skull called Golgotha. And he was hung on the tree. And they pierced his system. They pierced him. He didn't die because they pierced him. Remember, he had said, I have the power to lay my life and take it up again. When they pierced him, he didn't die. That was the first time in history they pierced somebody. Blood came out, water came out, nothing was in the system, yet alive talking. Had to now put vinegar and the rest. And after all their whatever, when it was time, he looked up to heaven. Lord, into your hands I commend my spirit. But before he said that, what did he shout? It is finished. Hey! It is finished. You see, the root word, you know, if you religiously know these things, it will not make any sense to you. Come off religion. The root word in Greek is called tetelestai. When I do a deal, for instance, with Pastor Peter, if he's a business, and for instance, I'm giving him $1,000. Do you have $1,000 there? Imagine I give him $1,000. All right, it's up to $1,000. I don't think he doesn't have money. There's so much safe. So I want this jotter, and I say, take. Then you give me tetelestai. The deal is done. You will never come to my house again and say, give me back my jota. Because I paid for it. Jesus paid for all of our sin. It is finished. Now, if you are waiting for something new to be done, you have to be sick. And that's why God told Paul, my grace is sufficient for you. What I did on Calvary is tetelestai. Stop waiting for me to come and remove the pain, remove the sin. Understand that what I did on the cross is enough. I don't know what you are going through right now in your life, but what Jesus did on Calvary is enough. I want you to see that it is enough and get out of that infirmity. Get out of that pain, because it is enough. What he did is enough to take you out from any addiction. I refuse to be addicted. Years ago, I caught this light. It changed my life forever. It got into my bones, my spirit, my blood vessels. I said, it is finished. And that's how my life changed. It is entirely finished. The devil has nothing on me. Nothing against me. He can do nothing to me. It is finished. Jesus paid it all. He paid it in full. Are you here? So Pastor Simon, you don't know the level of sin that I've done. I've aborted more than 5, 7, 10 times. Prophet, I've even killed somebody before. Jesus, blood is the most purest cleaning substance that's ever hit the entire universe. There is no sin that has happened. And listen, there is no sin that will happen that will entail Jesus to come and die again. What he has done, there is no sin that can ever hit the earth that will be so big for him to come and redo it again. What he has done is enough to take away any kind of sin that's hit the earth and can never hit the earth. And that is why after Paul killed a lot of Christians, he is now an apostle. Are you listening to me? And that is why after many Mary, what's her name? After being a prostitute, Jesus said your name will be mentioned every time the gospel is being preached. See, I'm mentioning her name now. A prostitute. And that is why they caught somebody in adultery. A woman left her husband, went to sleep with another man. The Pharisees caught her. It's not like it was not a sin. The Pharisees surrendered her. They are supposed to stone her. Christians, though, want to stone somebody to death. You can imagine that. With their white and white. They want to stone somebody to death. And here is Jesus. The Pharisees said, let's test him. Let's put him in trouble. Let's ask him. They want him to falter. They already know his goodness. And when he went there, knowing that the cross has not been revealed, there is nobody that can live above sin except the cross was revealed yet. If you are a righteous person before the cross, you are false. And your righteousness is as a stinking rat. It is when you encounter the cross that your righteousness, it becomes true. So Jesus, knowing this, that all of the Pharisees don't know anything about the cross because the cross is not available yet to them, he said, if any of you is without sin, let him be the first to cast a stone. And all of them were definitely with sin. They were terrible sinners wearing white and white. Terrible sinners wearing white and white. And that's the problem with religion. There is no solution for sin in religion. So they just try to manage the sin. That's why today we have what we call celibate gay priests. Because you cannot remove the gay. So you call them celibate and leave them as priests. Religion manages sin. It cannot stop sin. Are you listening? Do you know there's what we call celibate gay priests? They are celibate in that they don't have anything with women. But they have everything with men. But they are priests. They still speak the blessing over you. A gay priest releasing the Holy Ghost or the holy demon. Rather, and somebody said, frowning, well, it's not bad. It's not bad. You are sick in your spirit, in your soul, and in your body. You think in the realm of the spirit there's anything called, you know, funny enough, most of you don't know that Jesus has never coronated no man on the earth outside Peter as the head of the church. Peter did not pass the baton to anybody and say, now that I have left, you are the head. Are you listening?
Yes, sir.
So we don't care if somebody say, I am the head, and then I say, okay, now I permit gays to be priests or pastors. We don't care. You are just the head of wherever you are heading. Christ is the head of the church.
Yes,
so such a person with the white and white will go to hell. You won't just see everyone. You permit gay. You are going straight to hellfire. As we said, Pastor Simon, are you sure? Yeah. If you don't believe me and you want to be a celibate gay priest, you can try. You end up in hell too. You see yourselves there. I promise you. You can come, let's bet. Gayism is not of God. God did not say a man should like a man.
I don't know why God made me this way. I just like men as a man. I like men, man. You like men, man. That's a woman. I don't know why. I don't have no affection for women. I only like women. When I see women, I'm excited. When I see men, I remember what my father did to my mother. And I hate men with passion. It is Satan that is speaking through you. In the beginning, God created Adam and what? Steve? Who did he create? They say, oh, the white men are more knowledgeable than the blacks. Firstly, I'm not a black man. Am I black? Who has a black suit here? Let's show them what black means. Come. It's not a suit, but you can understand it. This is black, but kinkiri. How many of you have this skin color? How many of you have this? If you have, stand up. Let's tell you the soap to start using. Have you ever seen any human being with this skin color before? Somebody say yes. Where? Who is the person that said yes? Stand up. You've seen? We'll ask you for evidence now. We will not mind. You go online and show us. Nobody has that kind. Even the men in Congo, it's not as black as that. And they said they are white. They choose fine color. That's the way we are black. We would have accepted it. That's how the scammers are saying, even Jesus Christ is white. We were black. When we did research, we found out that Jesus is not actually a white man. He's not a black man too. Look at his child. He's a black man. You see, racism has entered him too. Because they've infected us with racism. So, blacks, white. So, we are proud of black. And it's a programming. But we are proud of the programming now. Jesus is not a white man. He's not a black man. From history, he's in the middle. His color is our African color and their color. He knows why he did that. He knows one day in this world. That's why he did it like that. According to history, his color is mixed. He's in the middle of the color, the both colors. So when you say white man, most people who call themselves blacks, when they see white men, they're like, wow, wise people. I remember one time in biology, I'll never forget, while studying, I asked my teacher in secondary school, I said, is it a white man that wrote this theory? They said yes. I said, wow, what theory? Evolution theory, that we evolved from, remember, Homo sapiens, Homo erectus, Homo habilis, Homo sapiens. We are Homo sapiens, isn't it? That we evolved from baboons, apes. Look at how beautiful you are, all of you. That there was a time you had a tail, but as you grew up, the tail was entering inside. So they will not tell you, touch your back, you will feel the sign of the tail. It's a bone, no? It's not your tail. And I asked myself, who did this theory? They say it's a white man. I said, this is just rubbish. So, okay, what happens to some of us they give birth to? Our fathers had tail, but when they gave birth to us, there was no tail. So they took our tail, like Jesus took our sins. Have you ever seen any little dog with no tail? Because the mother took their tail. They were created to have tails. We were not created with tails. Yes, sir. Are you all listening to me?
Yes, sir.
Very important. They are the ones that brought this useless theory now that says a man can marry a man. Before Donald Trump took power, the former administration gave a law that permits men to marry men. And in fact, as a pastor, if you decide not to marry, they will even arrest you. If two men come and say, join us, and you say no, you'll be arrested. Yes. When he did it, it didn't stop there. It entered some of the Anglican churches. If you remember, the Anglican church in Nigeria now have quitted from the one in Europe. How many of you are aware? They say they are not part of the ones in Europe because they send them a gay bishop in one of the eastern, is it southern states? And they almost beat the guy up. He ran away for his life and went back to his country. Are you listening to me? There is fire on the mountain. And thank God God gave us such a leader as Donald Trump. That's why he said, the way he's putting tax, I'm not, did I tell you that when he comes, the tax will not increase? I don't know that one. But if we choose our worst experience, choose the worst poison you want, for somebody to come and say, man should marry man, everybody should be straight. Nobody should be bending. Everybody should be straight. Humanity should be straight. Our brain should be straight. And the one that made us to be 2 naira, but say you can, your brain can be northeast central. Your brain can be jagola jagola, zigzag. Which one will you prefer? How many of you will send your children to a school that is $20, but they permit, they teach on gays and lesbian as a way of life? I'd rather send your school to, so your children to a school that is $100 that does not permit that. How many of you will look for $100 and send your children? Okay, some of you, you are not raising your hand. You send your children to $20. Are you here tonight?
Yes, ma'am.
Hey, church, are you angry? Some of you, if you are angry with what I'm teaching, you have a problem. Like, you are angry that we're talking against gayism and lesbianism, especially that he touched your own church. If your church are practicing gay and we say they are practicing gay and they will go to hell, how do we become a problem? It's not a church, it's a shrine. Let me say it more deeper so that it will pain you more. And that's how Jesus preached. When he was preaching, they took up stone. Carry stone and see whether my protocols will not stop you. They took up stone to stone Jesus. The Pharisees said they were vexed, the Bible said, in their spirit when Jesus preached to them. And Jesus did not stop there. He now anointed them and said, brood of vipers. When they wanted to stone him, he said, the blind leading the blind. The Bible says, and Jesus fled from amongst them. Somebody now told me one time, I said, Jesus disappeared. No! Read it well. Jesus, he caught out. Isn't it Jesus? You know, if you are preaching and they want to stone you, just stand like Jesus and disappear. Hey! If you see road to run, why do you want to disappear? What are your legs meant for? Legs are for running, walking, standing. While you can run, don't try to disappear. You know, imagine you are driving and you see bandits coming behind you and saying, oh, we'll break a dimension. Wife, children, pray in tongues. Oh my God. And your car is okay. The gear is moving well. You can enter gear 15. You know, some of you, that's why you know that your car can fly. I believe I can fly. You move. Phew, boom, James Bond. He's still moving. Maybe your son will say, Daddy drives like James Bond. So some people may be angry. People don't like truth. If you don't have problem, people preach the truth. Jesus, why preaching the truth on the earth? The Bible says his own. He said, I came to my own. My own, meaning the church. The church what? Rejected him because he was teaching the truth. He was against their practices. That's what is happening even today. I can sense vexation in the heart of some. A pastor spoke against our church. It's Jesus that is speaking that I'm telling you against your church. It's not pastor. Imagine Jesus is in our days now and he heard that there's something like celibate gay priests. Jesus will go to Italy. Go and read your Bible. He will always go before the temple and ask for the Sanhedrin to come down. He will not start quoting their scriptures. But he's wrong, blah, blah, blah. They will not carry stones. He will not run away. The next day again, he's the first person there. He will tell them, no, I came to... I didn't come to argue. In the middle of the distance, he was arguing again. Paul learned from him. Paul did the same thing. Go and preach in the world. Paul will leave the world. Come to church. And you see what they are doing. He will now call some people in the church and start saying, what you are doing is wrong. That's exactly what Jesus would have done. In the scriptures, there was a temple, a beautiful temple. Beautiful temple, but the practice was a demonic practice. They were practicing nonsense. And the Bible said the disciples told Jesus while they were passing, look at this beautiful work of art, Jesus. It's so beautiful. Look at the temple. And Jesus, the Bible said, frowned at it. He said, as long as the Lord lives, there will be no one stone left upon another on this temple. And said, oh, Jesus, why do you speak so ill of the temple? Why like that? He said, I'll destroy this temple in 3 days. Somebody said, but Jesus did not destroy it physically. He has destroyed all the beautiful temples that have no knowledge. Is it not wonderful that you can see some places with all wonderful work of art and people are not gathered there because the knowledge is woke? He has destroyed it. If Jesus never did that, all of us would have been saying, we are gay priests. Maybe celibate gay priests. Go and sit down before they think I'm talking about you. Are you here tonight? We have to wake up. That somebody's skin is, I wanted to say white, but nobody's skin is white. That somebody's skin, what's the real color of that, those people? Huh? What? That somebody is Oyinbo? Forget about English. We know them as what? Oyinbo. Does not mean their brain too is Oyinbo. Oyinbo skin, Oyinbo brain. You think colors of brain differ? Her color of brain should be the way her skin is. It's a lie. We all have the same. How many of you have seen blood? White blood. Huh? Even if they call it white blood cells, if you look at it, the blood is red. Blood has one color. Say your skin is black, your blood will be black. It's red. Wow. Surprise. You too, your own. Red. Wow. They are not wiser than us. Are you listening to me?
Yes,
they are not. You know, one time I was discussing with my friend. I said, because I read history a lot. I said, do you know why they killed Gaddafi? I don't know if he's a Christian. I never made that research. I said, they killed that man because he's trying to make sure Africans should have power as white guys. I said, forget all of those false stories they told us. That's why they killed him. The man wanted to have he wants an African Union that will have a currency that is as powerful as of white folks. Let's just call them Oyinbo white folks. And when they notice, they use the black man to kill him. The Lord give you understanding. I said, because they are scared of us having power. They don't want us to know a lot of things. You can imagine somebody like Kamala Harris in Ghana. Kamala Harris in Ghana. What was she doing? She was crying. Crying for souls that are perishing. Would have been glad. She was crying for souls to be permitted to perish. That woman was crying that the Ghana government should permit men to marry men. And that women should marry women. That's why she was crying. Allow people to be free. And thank God for a man full of the Holy Spirit. He stood up and said, well, we are glad you cried. But we cannot go against our beliefs. We stand with the word of God. Thank you for crying, but you can go back to US. We will not permit it. And she cried back home. Let me add this to our teaching. Don't allow racism to kill you. The people that started racism, in fact, they may be more liberated from racism than the people that they infuse racism on, if you are not careful. Because some people strong now, if you are always around people that are against you, if you are not careful, you will get the same energy they are emitting to you. And you become more wicked than even them because you want to revenge. Are you people getting what I'm trying to explain? Very important. So today, if they want to make us foolish in Africa, they will bring black color. Any small thing, Black Lives Matter. We thought it was a good movement. We didn't know it was a gazing movement that they were hiding with Black Lives Matter. You can imagine in a school in the US, they want to do a campaign for Black Lives Matter, and the person they put on the front page of the magazine was a boy that was behaving like a girl. And they say it's Black Lives Matter. And now they are telling us, allow blacks to express themselves because it's black that are bringing black things there. You can imagine. I'm not trying to hate on blacks. But look at the rubbish. And they are telling you Black Lives Matter. No, black demonic practices matter. We should have said that rather. So you don't get proud. You know, say we want a black U.S. president. Are you sick? In the name of the Spirit, is anybody black? We want a righteous president.
Yes, sir.
Oh, Africa have achieved something. What is it? The first black female black. And when we checked the next day, she was campaigning with the people that were devils, telling that if I am going to win, I will legalize marijuana. They legalized it. She went and campaigned with people that smoke Igbo. I'm just giving some of the back so that some of you would begin to think right. This thing is a movement. They have killed people because of this movement. They've killed many people on the earth. Because they stand against the movement. Who told you that every black man you see behaving like a woman wants to behave like a woman? Maybe we heard that Bobrisky has made some ladies pregnant. Most of them is an agenda. A woman making ladies pregnant. How? Some of them are paid. Just recently we were hearing a guy that told us 40 million they gave him to start cross-dressing. 40 million. They said, just be cross-dressing. We want young people to learn from you. And you will just be laughing. You will see, what's his name? This tall one. And you'll be laughing. Some of you are even using it as memes. What did they call it? James Brown. In fact, some of you, he has followers. He makes you laugh. This guy, funny guy, he has talent. We're talking with a guy in just 40 million they gave him to start cross-dressing. 40 million. When the case came to me, I said, if you want to die while alive, do it. Thank God he became wise. He rejected it. Because I know him. He was telling the friend before they reported. The friend rushed to me and told me the case. He said, hey, blah, 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 40 million will change my life to a woman. And you'll be hiding and looking for women to sleep with. A man, a woman on the screen, a man in the hidden. You know, they caught this guy before I round up my preaching. This guy that is in prison right now with over 1,000 bottles of baby oil. Did he? Before they caught him, he said something dangerous. Are you guys here tonight? You better listen to me. I'm about to get you delivered. Some of you, listen carefully. And that is why when you are done tonight celebrating Easter service, you should go home and delete all those stupid songs from your phone. He said something terrible. Before they caught him, he said, we are going to influence your kids. How many of you saw that video? We'll control their minds. We'll teach them how to think. And me, I was wondering how. These guys are the back end of most of the TV programs you see. They are the back end of it. We are watching Disney channels. Before we know, the thing has turned into another thing. Even Superman has turned into another thing. Batman now turned into another thing. You are watching Superman now. There is gazing part. A man, Batman is kissing. Spider-Man. Kissing men are kissing men in the cartoon. And some of us are smiling. The dangerous thing is that children are watching it. These children will grow one day and say, Daddy, I don't think I am a man. Daddy, I think I'm a woman. I choose my gender. You know, I watched one African man in the US. The boy told him, "Daddy, I've given up being a man. I can't go through all this stress. I've chosen today to be called a woman. I can't do all these things you're doing in the family." And the dad looked at him and said, "Come inside. Come inside and tell me more." When the boy came inside, he said, "Say what you just said." He said, "Daddy, I don't think I can just take all this rest. I want to be a woman. I've chosen today my gender. I'm a woman." The dad locked the door. He said, "Say it one more time." He said, "Daddy, oh, boy." "Say it again, Daddy, eh, boy." "Say it again, Daddy, oh, boy." Blood started rushing from his face. "Say it again." He said, "No, I'm a man, I'm a man." With three uppercuts, his brain resets. He became a man. Now, we don't do uppercuts. Do you understand? As Christians, that's not what we do. You know, I'm a victim of this kind of thing. Many years ago in the barracks, there was a guy behaving like a woman. So we planned him one day when we're done playing football. We told him, "Let's go and plug mango." Everybody was on his case. Because in the field, he says, "Pass the ball." So we planned him. We had planned. So, "My guy, let's go and plug mango." While we're going, we enter where there was no soldier, nobody. Some at the back, some at the front. Three slap at once. Pa, pa, pa. As he turned, they came from the other side too. Pa, pa, pa. He was just, "Why? Why, Jesus?" Pa, pa, pa. He was on the ground. I, 360. "Are you a man or a woman?" "I'm a man." Oh, pa. Oh my God. The next day, we warned him. I said, "The day we catch you in the barrack with hand like this, whether your mother catch you, will remove you from your mother's hand." That was the day he was delivered. He's a strong man today in the military. But it's wrong. It's wrong. Are we together? In the New Testament, we don't beat people. We beat them with the word of God. And that's what we're doing. And some of you are not aware. That's why we're bringing these shocking revelations. You don't know these things, they're an agenda. What do you expect from somebody who has useless their life? They smoke, they drink, and they now tell you a man should marry a man. And you think it's cool? Are you all listening to me? Be careful. There's a God in heaven and he created you in his image and likeness. And these people are penetrating even into religion. I hope you are aware. They are penetrating even into religion. That's why you are seeing what is happening today in the church. You know, one time I was sharing with you people that somebody was preaching, he said Jesus is the first stripper. You can imagine. That's how much they mean all of these things. Go to YouTube, you'll be so surprised. There are gay preachers teaching the word of God. They are teaching you Ephesians 5. I'm a gay preacher. But I understand what Ephesians 5 means. It's an agenda. And you have to fight. This is what Easter is about. Are you listening to me? Death has been defeated. We have to fight. Paul said, "Wage a good warfare. Fight a good fight of faith." Are you all listening to me? I told you one story. My wonderful sister, thank God she's repented today. Years ago, I went to her house and she was watching this program called Big Brother Niger. She was watching it with her baby. The baby was so little. And when I entered, I didn't want to shout that day. I had a stressful day. I just went there to eat. I was not married at that time. I dropped my car keys. I remember on the table and I carried the baby. They say, "Uncle Simon." And she came and hugged me. I just turned her towards the TV. And they were dancing, partying, drinking, smoking. I said, "Watch out, baby. Are you enjoying it? Watch what is happening." And she came. "Pastor Simon, what is the meaning of this now?" I said, "No, I want that to watch and learn. I rebook it in the name of Jesus. I rebook." She removed her baby. I said, "Why are you rebooking it?" So why will you make my baby to be watching this? I said, "Are you not watching it?" "Hey, me, I'm watching." I said, "And your baby is not watching, you think? You are." I said, "Firstly, your baby is watching. Secondly, you are sharing an atmosphere for demons, an ecological niche. How many of you woke up one morning and saw mosquito in your house very well? Plenty. But when you go to the back of the window, you now see stagnant water. Then you are like, "Woo! I understand why." Are you surprised when you see the stagnant water? Because they like stagnant water. It's their ecological niche. If you observe, if your house, a part of your house is broken, and you are pouring water in that part so well, one day you will see worm coming out from it. Am I saying the truth? Where did the worm come from? The environment was provided, the worm found expression. Are you not amazed when you pour sugar on the ground? Where do these ants come from? How many of you have seen that happen? You just pour sugar. Where are they coming from? You not be thinking, is there a storehouse for ants in this house? As long as the environment was created, the ants will come. As you are watching those things, you are inviting spirits. You are creating an atmosphere. You are listening to a song. There's this crazy madman they call Naira Marley. One day I was in an eatery. Oh my God, I don't know what I saw it. People of God, I saw this, the unseeable. The things coming out from his mouth as music. And while they were playing, people were dancing. Naked women. They were dancing. I was eating. I put my hand on my head. I said, "Dear Jesus, what is the hope?" That time, my sister have not come to Benue. Mike too. I said, "God, what is Flora watching?" Oh, that's what I put my hand on my head. I said, "What would they be watching?" Imagine that. She's not born again that time. She came born again when she came to Benue State here. Imagine what they will be watching. They said she liked to dance that time. That means she'll be at the front line of the dance. Then imagine the influence in their head. You have a daughter at 12. You heard that the daughter has been this virgin and she's slept with 12 people. You are wondering how. It's the kind of environment that is being cultured around. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? It's the environment we live in. You are talking to a lady of 20 and she told you, I've aborted almost 7 times. Don't be so easy to condemn. Think about it. The environment. I went somewhere to preach in this Nigeria. A particular city. I will not call the name before they come against me. I entered a particular place. As I was moving my legs, it's as if they were drawing me back. I felt different hands drawing me back. Are you all listening to me? And I tried to move and I went back. I went into the hotel and I asked the person that invited me. I said, "This particular part of the town, what happens there?" He said, "Sir, that place is the hub of immorality. There's club there, there's these girls used to gather." I said, "That part." He said, "Yes." I said, no wonder when they wanted to cross, they drew me back. Because they knew what the word of the Lord would come and do in the seat. Listen carefully. Sometimes back, a preacher came to my house. Haven't come here to listen to me, so he wanted to come to our house. So he came. Now everybody sit down. Don't move. Sit down and hear me till I'm done. Are you listening to me? The church, there must be discipline. You must hear this word of God. And it must change your life. And while he was in my house, he told me these words. He said, "Pastor, sir, I came to the church. And the reason why I decided to come to your house is because I want to make you aware. I don't know if you are aware." He said, "But I know you should be aware. The level of darkness you repel in this city." I said, "Go ahead, explain." He said, "When you teach, the other day while you were teaching, I saw how you were repelling darkness with your teachings." He said, "I don't know whether you are aware what you do in the life of young people, but the level of darkness you repel, I always pray for you. And I know you know what you are doing because the devil is really mad about what you are doing." And it's true. We are really repelling darkness with the teaching of God's word. Are you all listening to me tonight? Guys, are you hearing me tonight? Many people are not aware. But this is the truth. The enemy has come but to what? To what? And to what? To what? To what? And to what? And he's doing it already in the lives of many. But today, as you hear the word of the Lord, harden not your heart. This is the purpose for the resurrection. Are you all listening to me tonight? This is why Jesus came to the earth. Not so that you come and celebrate Easter and go back the same way. When you come for Easter service, you should understand the purpose of his death, burial, and resurrection, so that when you go back home, you live like the devil never existed. And that's why you should run away from things like that. I told you how one of my friends in Kaduna started smoking. We were listening to the song together with him. And I said the song one time here, Lil Wayne, I got blood in my eyes, whatever in my vein. I used to listen to that song with him. And one day he went to the bush and started smoking. He joined people to start smoking Igbo. I came out early in the morning, one time, 5:30. I was just stretching myself, preparing for a morning training, football training. And I saw this young man looking like this. He did not see anybody, so he just came out. I saw him and I called his name. When I called him, he came. And he was scenting in the morning. There's this particular scent they have, perfume. And I called his name. I said, have you started smoking? He said, no, I went to ease myself. I said, you don't have toilet in your house early in the morning? Is anybody dragging toilet with you? I said, have you started smoking? One more time. Have you started smoking? Then he started crying. Young boy. Yes, I have started smoking. I can't be proud to tell you. I knew why he started smoking. At that time, I didn't know. I started advising him. But after some years of understanding God's word, I found out that was why he started smoking. It's not a coincidence that your life is the way it is. If you check your life, you know why you have made some of the mistakes you've made. You know why you are living the way you are living right now. People you call idols, how do they live their life? How do they live their life? The people you look up to, how do they live their life? Are you listening to me? Life is more spiritual than it is physical. How do they live their lives? You ought to understand this. Hallelujah to Jesus. Because the enemy has come but to what? What? And to what? Destroy. Very important. And he's making waves. Many are not aware, but he's making waves. You know, it was prophesied that even when the Lord comes and speaks, many will find it difficult to believe, even in these days. He also said it about these days, that many will find it difficult to believe. And it is happening. That you are seeing somebody putting his hand on the fire. You are saying, that's fire. They are still laughing. Leave me. It is happening. I was selling some bread and one time, tried to round up. I told them, you see, I understand why you are so hardened the way you are hardened. I understand. I used to be like that. You know, some of you think I just metamorphosed from heaven. It's never true. I was a barrack boy. I lived in the barracks. I understand what it means for somebody to know a lot of crazy things. I understand. You hear me saying we beat somebody in the bush. I did even more. I remember when these things were being preached to me those days. I remember how I would laugh sometimes. It was so easy to laugh. Are you listening to me? But after a while, when the Lord hit me with this word, when I captured it, I would sit down and look back and say, what really happened to me? Why was I actually laughing for serious matters? It happens. And that's why the Bible says, when the word of God comes to you, harden not your heart. Harden. Harden. Very important. Are you listening to me? So when the word of God comes to you, harden not your heart. Listen with an open mind. Don't listen to reply. Listen to what? Understand. Are we together? It's 10:56 already. Listen to understand. Don't listen to reply. You know, there's this saying that says in a particular denomination, I was born here, I'll remain here, I'll die here. And people take it so serious. One time I met a guy, and while he was saying that, I said, you want to be born, you are claiming you were born in something you don't understand the origin. You will remain in something you don't understand the origin. And you will die in something you don't understand the origin. Hallelujah to Jesus. And I told him, you have to calm down. Hallelujah to Jesus. So bow your heads and pray, everyone. Tell the Lord to shine in every area of your life that this world affects. Go ahead. Pray from the depth of your heart. Pray from the depth of your heart. We give you all the praise, Jesus. We thank you and we adore you. Blessed be your name forever. In Jesus' name we pray.
I'm sure you were blessed by these words of life and peace from Prophet Simon Thomas. Get transformed by the truth of God's Word by visiting and following our social media handles at Glory Carriers Ministry International, and get more messages at www.embassyofglory.com. Also, worship with us on Tuesdays by 5 p.m. and Sundays, first service by 8 a.m. and second service by 10:15 a.m. at Sheraton Hotels beside Benue State House of Assembly, Mukherjee, Benue State. God bless you.